Welcome to For the Record, an unfiltered view on current trends and timeless advice for surviving in the aesthetics industry. Whether you're an injector, practice owner, sales rep, or marketer, it's time to set the record straight. Each week, we cut through the chaos and showcase diverse perspectives and winning ideas from the best minds in the industry. I'm your host, Dr. Tiffany Hall, Chief Growth Officer at Aesthetic Record. Now, let's get started on this week's episode.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of For the Record. And today is going to be probably my most favorite episode that we will have ever shot in four seasons. It's a full circle moment. Somewhere around COVID, I was listening to Josh Davis give eloquent, fun, exciting podcast lectures on his podcast, Tea Time with Josh. And I was like, you know what? A podcast is a great idea. I want to do that. I want to be like Josh. And that's how For the Record was born. And so now we have a full circle moment. We have with us today the one, the only, larger than life, big personality, Talks Josh. He is a registered nurse in Brentwood, Tennessee, who has, as you guys all know, Talks Josh Studios, a creative mastermind. If you're at the Nexties, he probably blew your mind, knocked your socks off. He's such a talented singer, musician, the whole thing, everything he can do. A great injector, a great trainer, educator, and really our most famous, if you want to call it that, like our big fame guy here in the aesthetic industry, the guy that really skyrocketed to fame early on and kind of taught us all how this thing works as far as being an Instagram influencer, being out in front of all of this. The community of competition thing was his idea, and just really a bag of incredible tricks over the past, I don't know, 6-7 years that I've known him. A dear friend and just a badass dude. So I cannot wait today to get on our show with us right here, Josh Davis. Welcome to For the Record.
Hey, love bug. Thank you so much for having me. Gosh, that intro. I'm like over here like tearing up. I'm like, so kind.
Well, we met at AM Spa. The first time I ever did a clinical talk at AM Spa, we had the first one ever for Gain. And I met you. You're like, hey, you don't know me, but I think I know you. I was like, yeah, actually, I do know you. We just kind of connected there. And I thought, you know, I like that guy a lot. And I don't know, from that point, I did.
I came up and I was like, girl, I like your dress. And you were just like, oh my God, you're like, at the time, my name, but it was Talks Josh. And I was like, you know who I am? I was like, what?
and you are just the most dear person. I think people don't know that about you. You're just like the sweetest, kindest person ever. And I think you have this great big persona online that is, you know, that is also you. You're also that person. You're Miss Highland X, but you're also just Josh. You know, you're all the things, very dynamic. And so I wanted to dig into all that today because I meant it when I said, you know, you were kind of the first person who went to this like fame level with our industry. You were kind of the guy that paved the way for all these influencers and people who are really big on Instagram. And you had no manual, no guidebook, no one telling you how to deal with any of it. And it's a lot to take on. And so from being a practice owner to an injector to an influencer, I want to dig into all your things. But I will stop there and let you give us an idea of where you come from and how you got here.
Oh, perfect. Well, back in 1984, when I crowned for my mother, like in East Tennessee. But yeah, no, Josh Davis, most people don't know who that is. They know Talks Josh. I am a registered nurse here in Nashville, Brentwood, Tennessee. I own Talks Josh Studios, like you said, and been in this industry going on. This is my 10th year. I'm like, holy cow, it feels like 2 seconds. My background is in critical care. I was a Vanderbilt trauma nurse. I was a critical care nurse up in Indianapolis. So I have like, I can save your life and fix a face, which is what I usually say. And got into aesthetics back in 2014 in oral surgery. And my oral surgeon did it. And I was like, that's cute. I like this. And then finding out I can do it. And then it just, from there, that just was the little seed that planted. And then here we are. So did my business. And you're right. I didn't have a manual. I didn't go to school to be a business owner. I just kind of like, I was like, you know what? I've got good ethics. We're going to do this. Never took a loan out. And I was like, we're going to do this smart. And I just kind of was like, okay, let's try this. All right, let's try this. And then before I know it, I'm like, boom. I'm like, what has happened? And it's been a fun journey to see kind of how all that goes from, I went to Vanderbilt for music. That was my first degree, saxophone performance. So I was like a musical nurse. We'll see where it goes. But it's kind of cool to see those two degrees meld together in the aesthetics field of medicine, where the art and science kind of found me through aesthetic medicine. So that was kind of cool. And raised on a farm in East Tennessee, I'm like, people like, you ride a four-wheeler? I'm like, heck yes, I can. But I'm also fabulous. So here you go. Like, so yeah, that's my little story. And here we are.
Well, I'm an Arkansan, so I'm a redneck at my core, you know, a little bit of a country hick. I think we share probably some similar country hick stories of our upbringing, but we're here now. We're fabulous. You know, we've progressed.
When I go home, people are like, "Oh, you've been home, haven't you?" I'm like, I know my syllables get slower. My words get slower. I start to sound like I'm like, "Whoo, all right, you went to Vanderbilt. They're going to call and want your degree back."
Oh, that's a very fancy school. For those who don't know, Vanderbilt's very, very fancy. So, you know, the fact that you went there is, first of all, I know you're well educated. You are a phenomenal nurse injector. People often forget that about you, which I think is so funny. I loved this year you injected on stage at Aesthetic Next to remind folks that you're not just a personality, that you're actually a working, you know, successful, great practitioner as well, who is injecting, you know, as a job. It's, you know, your career, and you do a damn good job at it. And so I want to kind of start there with, as you think about your foray into aesthetic medicine, you know, did you ever think to yourself as you started this, because you're a master brander, one of the skill sets that you have is that you're great at branding, whether it's the way things look, the way that things feel, the experience, how you talk about things, you know, all the branding parts of it. But as you're like little baby Josh coming into being the musical nurse, did you ever foresee this as your future, like this whole thing that you've kind of created around you?
Oh, God, no. Like, if you would have told me back, and I tell my friends from nursing school, like, I've got a select few, they're like my mom and my sister in nursing school. And I'm like, as I'm injecting them, and I'm like, did you ever think, you know, like 12 years ago when I went, or God, when was it? 2010, 13 years ago. Lord, no, 2009. Oh, my God, 14 years ago. Oh, thank God for talks, or I'd look my age, that I'd be injected. And they're like, no, like I was on a path of I was going to be a trauma nurse and I was going to be a CRNA. That's what I want. And it's funny, like how the universe will wake you up real quick and get you off a path that you're not supposed to be on. It was kind of a shit show time. I'm going to save that story for Tea Time with Talk Josh season 2. I'm going to open up with what happened to me then. And people are going to be shocked. They're going to be like, holy cow, what I went through. And honestly, I didn't know if nursing was going to work for me after that. And then aesthetics was kind of that saving grace to be like, oh, this is the reason why that didn't work out. And I'm so thankful it did, because and I didn't know it was going to work out. Like I was like, you know, the thing about this is, unlike, you know, putting in a Foley catheter, there's art to this, you know, wound chain. Well, there is an art to Foley catheter. There's art to any of the nursing stuff, but like, just like, this isn't just a task. There's an art to this. And a lot of people, they get in the industry and they're like, oh, I'm going to do that. I'm like, whoo, you're not good at this. You know, that was a big risk for me. I'm like, am I going to be able to do lips? I've never done this before. And I was very thankful I was good at it. And I think that music background kind of helped me kind of get there. But I was very thankful for that, because it wasn't always the easiest journey with nursing, especially when you're different. You know, people don't understand different. You know, we live in a cisgender white man's world. I'm just living in it, you know? And so when things are different, you know, people don't like a new bubbly nurse that comes on to a trauma unit and they are happy about life. You know, when they're jaded, they've been there for 20 years and they hate life, you know, and even in the midst of chaos, you're happy because you have to, you know, like to get through the death and the dying and all this stuff. They don't like anything that's different, you know, and to be able to get out of that and into this world was really a saving grace looking back on it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, but you know, part of that is how much you know about the medical aspect of things and how much more prepared you are, I think, for adverse events and issues that arise, and just being a medical person in general, because you come from a critical care sort of trauma background. But, you know, I think about what you just said about being different. It's interesting, all the struggles and things, think about you and I sometimes in a parallel universe. Like I have had these big obstacle moments, like big, you know, oh shit moments in my life, because I think we are a bit of an envelope pusher. And I think when you do things differently, you swing for the fences, and when you miss big. And when you win big, you know, and I think you have to kind of be okay with either way it goes, it goes. I have friends who kind of live their life and they're happy and harmonious and copacetic, and things never happen to them. Like neither good nor bad. Like they just kind of live and exist. I don't work that way, Josh. I'm an extremist. I think you're much the same as me. And so again, when it's great, it's great. When it's bad, it's real freaking bad. But you know, to that idea, you know, you have obviously swung for the fences and you have gone big. But when you started out in aesthetics, did you start in a clinic somewhere else? I'm guessing that you did. And at what point did you decide, you know, I'm going to own a business. I want to become a business owner, as I'm also learning my craft and really honing in on being a great injector. I'm going to, you know, just go out and decide to open up a business today and also be a, you know, an entrepreneur. Did that was that decision hard for you, or, you know, was that an easy, yes, I have to be in control and I want to own all the things?
Yeah, it was difficult because going into it, you know, looking back on it, I have a different perspective. But like when I was in there, you know, in oral surgery, they have you up front. I was kind of like practice management, administration, and, you know, sedation, assisting like the oral surgeon and stuff. But when you're really good at admin, which is basically like running the clinic, they don't want you in the back. And I was like, hey, guys, this, I would like to start, you know, like the aesthetics more for you guys so you could do this. This would be neat. But when you're in a controlling environment that they like to clip your wings, it's like, you know, you can't grow. And I just felt suffocated. So I was like, okay. So I left and went to work for a really high-end cosmetic dentist who treated the face holistically and wanted and valued the aesthetics aspect of it. And then, so I went to work for him, but as practice management as well, because I love practice management. I love that. And, you know, I get in there, and when you're really good at practice management, they're like, oh, we need you up here. We, you know, back there. And I'm like, that's not what I signed on for. And so I just realized that I'm either gonna have to stop taking practice management jobs or, you know, or just dive into this. And it's really hard to get into the industry without experience. You know, people want you to have all the experience, and if they're not willing to take a risk on you, I was like, well, you know what? I'm sick and tired of trying to grow somebody else's dream. I want to grow my own. And so I took that leap of faith after I was trained, heavily trained. I did not go do that 4-hour weekend course and call myself a master injector. Lord Jesus. You know, like I private training after private training after private training, and then had mentorships with, you know, the doctor and all this stuff. So that really kind of helped set me to where I wasn't terrified to go out on my own, and also getting a strong medical directorship from the get-go. So I had somebody, it wasn't just like I got some gynecologist that's used to doing those lips and doesn't know anything about these lips as my medical director, like a lot of these people do. I'm like, wrong lips, sweetie, wrong lips. And I'm like, and that really helped me because I knew I had somebody I could count on. If I didn't have that, I would have never have done that on my own. So I had the support and I had this desire. I was like, look, what else are you going to do? It's, you're not going back into the hospital. You have panic attacks even thinking about working in a hospital. Like, this is that. So like, you know what? Do it. And it was terrifying. I was lucky. My ex, Chris, he's the male esthetician. You all might know him. I had his full support. And he helped me through that. And I was very thankful for that. But it was terrifying to do that. And I'm glad I had that foundation. And I'm also glad I had my 3 years experience as critical care nurse, because it helped me think critically. It helped me not panic in situations if I had a vascular occlusion and all that stuff. So I'm glad I had the path that I did, because I think it made me, you know, kind of who I am today on that end. But I'm so glad I took that leap of faith. Whew, I'm so glad.
Well, now that we've covered all the lips here on For the Record, we can get back to our regularly scheduled programming. No, but you know, Whisperwood, you had a great practice there. I mean, you guys were booming, but I think it was growing as you were growing. You know, you were growing as an influencer at the same time. It was growing, and that's a lot to take in, because being an influencer is a full-time job for many people, right? Like your persona, what you have to put out in Instagram, obviously you've kind of tailored back, you know, you've cut back a bit in recent years, but when you're at the height of all the things you were doing, I mean, it had to be a full-time job. Like, I can't imagine the amount of time you spent having to curate all of that stuff for your feed, but also then running a business and being the injector. So at some point, did one eat the other? You know, did one impact the other and it became too much to do all at the same time? Or did you just make a decision that, hey, I want to do something different and I'm ready to pivot and you know, move on to Talkshaw Studios?
Yeah, that's a good question. You're right. It's like, you know, Instagram kind of just took off out of nowhere. I think I had like 200 and something followers. And the next thing you blink and it's like 2000 and then 5 and then 10 and then 20. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And it was great. You know, it's like, I was like, I'm running my first marathon and I am full of energy. Like, hello, if you know me, you know, I'm full of energy. And it's good for a while until it's not. And you can, I am the Energizer Bunny, but even the batteries run out. And I think it's like, you can't expect to keep running a full marathon if you run full charge straight from the gate. And I was running full charge straight from the gate, and I'm at mile marker 13. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what is this? And And it's good. You don't realize it in all the noise and the chaos and the coolness, you know, like you get wrapped up in it. And it there for a while, it helped my business. You know, I had Davis Aesthetics, and then I transferred that to kind of Whisperwood, and which was funny looking back on it, but everybody's like, Talks Josh and then Whisperwood. Whisperwood is beautiful. It won like the Grammy Award of brands. And it was beautiful on the inside, but it's who I thought I had to be. You know, I was doing things like, oh, I'm in Tennessee. I'm in this very conservative area. Nobody's going to embrace if I'm truly myself. Online is one thing because I have followers all across the globe. You know, that's fine. But here I've got to be this certain way. So I was like, all right. So I was still kind of in my shell at that point. And then I realized, like, you know, and it's blowing up and social media is doing good. So you don't focus on anything. You don't focus on what's going on the inside, you know, because externally we're getting validated. We're getting the likes. We're getting the speaking gigs. We're getting the notification. We're getting the notoriety. We're getting all this stuff. And life is grand, you know? And then you realize, wow, I have this clinic with 13 people up underneath me, and I'm opening up another one, and then I'm gone every weekend, and boom, 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 boom. And my schedule's packed out for 9 months. Like, and you realize you look up one day and you're like, who are you? Like, who is this person? Some of it you love, some of it you don't. And it does, it gets to you, it gets tiring. And you kind of, for me, I kind of lost me. Who's Josh? Outside of Talks Josh, outside of Talks Josh Studios and Whisperwood. So I think when it's good, it's good. And we don't focus on like this, you know, our own self. We pour ourselves into everything else. And that can be very detrimental. It was for me and my mental health for sure. But yeah, in the noise of it, you don't care because you're like, oh, honey, we going shopping. We getting those Gucci shoes. We on first class. We flying across the world, you know, all this stuff. And then it catches up with you and you're like, why am I burnt out? Why is this? Why am I, ah, you know? And I went through that and I hated it because, you know, now on social media, it's like when you take a mental health break, you're destroyed. Like your account, it doesn't get the engagements like it did. It's like Instagram rewards Energizer bunnies, and heaven forbid you take a break. Might got a little off topic there, but
No,
yeah,
it's perfect.
it was something that you can go full force until you can't anymore.
Well, I don't know if you've seen the D'Amelio girls. They have a show on, I think, Hulu, and they're like the number one TikTok influencers in the world and have been for like, I don't know, a gazillion years. And I watch that show and I think about you all the time. Like, I know that sounds creepy, but I think about you all the time because they are these like mega influencers, but they're mentally they're exhausted and they're having like, you know, all these people who are dictating their world and their life, and they can't go out in public, and everyone's sending these horrible messages to them, like, you know, awful, awful things you'd say to a teenage girl. And they have these amazing jobs that they're getting to go all over the world and do all these fun things, but they're like so wrapped up in the fact that they're just worn out, like they're just exhausted. And I just think about that a lot, that no one, this Instagram generation, this TikTok generation, no one's prepared us for that. I think if you're a movie star, you fight and battle so long to become a movie star that you're ready for it when it happens to you because you've paid your dues. This is like one day you're you, the next day you're famous. Like it just happens like overnight in some cases. I mean, for you it happens so fast that you almost can't catch up with it. And you do get sort of I've never been an influencer, so I don't know the answer, but I'm sure that you get wrapped up in it and it's like it kind of consumes you. But you mentioned that you had 13 folks who were depending on you at Whisperwood that you were employing. That's a different animal. And so as you are out traveling everywhere, I see this a lot with people who are out traveling doing things, but they also have to run a clinic. How the hell do you do it? Do you have to start outsourcing and get people to come manage the clinic? Are you still involved in it? Like, at what point did you decide I can't manage all these humans and also my brand, and I've got to make a change?
Yeah, it's true because like everybody sees the spotlight and they want the spotlight. Like everybody's like, oh, a spotlight on him, the fame, the this, that, and the other. Like, you know, they see when I go to these conferences and like a line of people line up for photos and all this stuff, like they see all the good things, but they don't see the my screen time was when I was like at peak, the best engagement, getting everything going and boom, 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 like having 70,000 views on my stories, like unheard of, like having the several thousand likes, and my engagement rate was an 11%. Anything over 1% is considered mind-blowing good, and mine was at 11%. My screen time was at 9 and 10 hours a day. Yeah, they don't see that. They just think it's like easy, and I'm like, oh no, honey, it's not. Because Instagram, you have to be business owner, you have to be injector, you have to be knowledgeable, you have to be videographer, photographer, a creator, an artist, now basically a producer, like and all this stuff. And they don't see what it takes. And it is exhausting, and it's like, and you do it because it is rewarding. You get, like what you put in, you get out. And it worked for me until it didn't. And they don't see that. And then and then on top of that, you have a clinic, which Instagram was feeding. I would do one lit before and after photo, and it would bring me about $30,000 to $40,000 worth of income after one before and after photo. That's not the case anymore. They kind of tank our industry, rightfully so, because of mental health and the things that are going on with, the younger generation and how strong influencers can influence in the toll it's taking. But you get to this point where you wake up and you're like, holy cow. I remember there was one day where we had my upfront Granberry release, and it was so crazy. We had four people deep on the phone waiting list, like or the, like the to speak with her. We had four people ready to check in and four people waiting to check out, and she just looked back at me with tears, and I was like, and I was happy, but I was also like, girl, I've been there before. And she was like, we got to expand. And so we did, and got more people, more people. And you think that everything's going to be fine when you do that. But at the end of the day, you are your business when it's built around a brand. If you're not there, nobody's going to run or care for your business like you. And so when you're out and about doing all this stuff, like it's hard to take care of home life, on that end. And you get to the point to where, my wants changed. I didn't realize that, but like, it's like Sally bakes pies. Sally's pies are delicious, honey. Everybody's like, you should open up a bakery and sell your pies. So Sally's like, okay, I'll do that. So Sally does that. They explode. Their orders all around the world. She goes, this big old thing, blah, 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 blah. And Sally's like, I hate baking pies. What is this? Blah, blah, blah. So Sally just goes back to just baking pies. That's kind of what. On this end, it's like, because when you hop into this industry, the pressures of social media and the pressures of what we see is, I've got to have this clinic. I've got to work towards having multiple locations, because if I don't, I'm a failure. I've got to have my schedule packed out for 12 months, like this girl over here. I'm like, bitch, you don't even know if she's got 2 days open a year. That's why she's booked for the whole year. Like, it's a smoke screen. Like, we get up in what we should be doing. We should all over ourselves. And then of what? And we allow the industry and social media and the outside influence to tell us what we want. And then we get there and we have this busy clinic. We have the multiple locations, and you're still miserable. And it's like, because it's not what I wanted. And that was kind of a wake-up call to be like, this is not what I signed up for. Holy cow, it's a lot. Not that I couldn't take it, but it's just that desires changed. And then at some point, I was like, wow. You got to take an inventory of your life and be like, what's working and what's not, and what's really important and what really isn't. And where you are only capable of so much with your energy, what's going to get it and what isn't. And so when I did that, it was kind of devastating, because I was just like, gosh, you get there to this journey, and then we look for that next mountain to climb, and we forget to enjoy the journey. And then it's like, crap, I didn't even want to climb that mountain, because if you get in it and you're like, it looks shiny. It looks cute. Like, ooh, look at that. Like, the Land Rover looks real cute, or that Rolls Royce looks good. Do you have to take it in for maintenance? And then you get like a $20,000 bill, And it's kind of like that. You get a taste of what it is, and people think it is as a failure. And I'm like, it's not failure. Like, you did it. You accomplished it. Like, hell yeah. It was a multi-million dollar business. Like, it was great. And it's okay to pivot. It's okay to not want those things. It's okay to reevaluate and destroy anything and cut out the noise that isn't you, and get back to yourself with that. And that's kind of what I had to do. And I think that's the trap of social media. You're right. These influencers, they get caught up in so much stuff, and you're not prepared for it. It's not like I was a child star and then boom, it was and used to it. You get thrown into it and you're like, oh, okay. And luckily, I've just kind of learned as I go. Did I make some mistakes? Yeah. Did I have some success? Yeah, but I didn't have a rule book, that's for sure.
And we still don't have one. Like, we're still, I think, as an industry, trying to figure it out, because oftentimes influencers who are big put them on stage and they're not so good. I think that's the other thing too, is your Instagram following does not dictate your skill set. And I think for patients, there's a risk, a big risk for that, that they just think, you know, oh, they're famous, it must be great. And luckily for you, you are really good. But if you weren't, and they were coming to your clinic every day, all day, and you weren't a great injector, or you weren't great at, you know, business owning, what happens then? Like, then the whole industry takes a hit, because now that permeates the, you know, the surface. And it's like a mixed bag of both good and bad. But, you know, I think about with TalkShaw Studios, it looks different. It feels different. It's got a different vibe to it. It's much more you as a person. I agree with you. The other clinic was beautiful. The branding was gorgeous, but it wasn't you. It didn't feel like you at all. It felt like it was a clinic that you kind of showed up to work at. And I use the Sally example all the time. You know, the pie baker doesn't want to be the pie shop owner. I mean, she might, but then she's like, wait a minute, but I loved baking pies. I don't get to bake pies anymore. And I have to run a business. I want to go back to just baking pies. And so at TalkShaw Studios, do you get to be the pie baker again? Like, how does it differ for you with how you built this clinic versus the old one? And is this really what you want now? Is this kind of more embracing the Josh that you want to be today?
Yeah, it was a wake-up call, you know, like when you have some pretty big hits with your business that, you know, kind of shock you and you're like, whew, you're not prepared for it. But you can look back on it and realize, okay, again, like 10 years ago, what happened in nursing on trauma, like I can be like, ah, okay, universe, I'm waking up. Like, this isn't in alignment with who I am. You're giving me like a signal and making me uncomfortable. So I'll pay attention to do that. And Whisper was that there was such a disconnect when it really started to take off and like TV shows started to be interested and come up and all this stuff. It was something that my friend Jenna, as you know, from the Nexi, she is a marketing brand wizard. And she came along and she was like, Josh, she goes, imagine if like Todrick came in here for injectables and like he sees Whisperwood and then he sees TalkShosh, or like he sees TalkShosh and then he walks into Whisper and he's like, huh? It's like you said, it's like a place I would show up to work. But Whisperwood was who I thought I had to be in Williamson County. You know, I am in the Bible Belt and Tennessee is like the belt buckle of that. And, you know, closeted homophobia is still a real thing. When I changed over, my patients that stayed are so shocked at this. When I switched from Whisperwood to TalkShosh Studios, I lost about 30% of my patients. And I didn't change. The only thing that changed was the decor. Like, and it's like, I always say, it's like one neon light away from being a gay club, but it's peaceful in there. And I, like, it became more of me. It's like a place where you would think TalkShosh would own. And the only thing, and I would go through Instagram profiles and all this stuff. And it was a lot of like, you know, First Corinthians, Jesus lovers, all this stuff, nothing against Christianity, but it was that thing. And I even asked a few and they made sense. They're like, yeah, I just can't, you know, it's just, the vibe is not right. And I'm just like, wow, you know, it's closeted homophobia is so real and alive where I'm at. And the fact that like people would leave because they can support Whisperwood, but they can't support this. But I didn't care because I'm like, thank you so much for taking the things that aren't in alignment with who I am. Now, when I embrace myself, and TalkShosh Studios is representation of that. It is a physical location of like me. And so when you come in there, you get to feel like a kid again, like an aesthetic playground. And so I didn't really care if they stopped coming because it's like, those aren't my people anymore. You know, thank you for clearing space on my schedule. Now I see a lot of the people that's moved from California and LA and Miami and New York that's moved to Tennessee. And I'm like, you know, you can get sad about it, but I'm like, I ain't sad about that because you're not my patient. You know, you don't need to be in here anyways. If that's how you're going to feel, peace out, Girl Scout. If you're not going to come to me because I literally just changed branding that's more in alignment with myself, then that's on you. That has nothing to do with me. So, and when I did that, TalkShosh Studios became a fun place again. And, but then there was still part of me that felt like I had to, okay, maybe the pressures of like, oh, I've got to like make it this big clinic, blah, 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 in a different way now. And we did. And I did it for a while. And, you know, we brought in some different things, metaphysical stuff. We brought in human design. We brought in psychic mediums. We brought in, I'm a Reiki master. We brought in energy healing, you know, as I was going through a spiritual journey and awakening myself, I incorporated the things that helped heal me on the inside. And it, you know, TalkShosh Studios was a place where we shifted perspective so much, not with the needles and talks, but to focus on the inside and change the narrative around an aesthetics. And it was cool, but then it was like all these people started to, and I was so like, I don't, you know, I was like, I need to depend upon myself, you know, like, and it was like, I just started to get a taste that again, and I was like, no, we can strategically align with our people, but it doesn't something that I want. It's like Sally was like, oh, I gotta go get a, you know, bake pie shop again, but it's like, no. So I allowed myself to just allow Talkshow Studios to turn into what it should be naturally and align with the people that it was supposed to align with. And it's been such a beautiful journey to see how it's changed. And now it is a place. Like, I've got Danielle, the beauty nerd. She's, you know, cause she has like rents one side for me. And it's this co-shared space to where, like, you know, she's incredible. I trained her up. She's responsible for her success. I'm responsible for mine, but it's a cool place where we get to come together and create magic with each other. And it's just me. Like, I do the energy work. I do all those. And it was such a relief to get back to that point to where I'm like, you know what? I'm just baking pies. I'm saying no to everything that does not light my soul on fire. And right now what lights my soul on fire is taking care of me, my mental health, and going back into my clinic and baking pies. And it's wonderful.
Well, I love the one light away from a gay club because I think it's got the coolest decor ever. I want to go live in your practice. It's so cool. But I think you're right though. People oftentimes when you're asked who injects you, where do you go for your injections? It becomes a thing like a badge of honor. And so people really wear that on their sleeve and talk about it. And so I can imagine in some parts of the U.S. that Whisperwood is a much better alignment for folks to maybe Talkshow Studios. But you know what? Bless and release, honey. Bless and release. That's what we say in the South. So I don't blame you.
And peace out, Girl Scout. Like, again, if you have a problem with that, that does not a reflection on me or my work. That's a reflection on you. Like, your opinion of me is just really a mirror of your opinion of your own self.
Yeah. You know, thinking about that, I wanted to talk about the community over competition idea that you really spearheaded, I don't know, several years ago. You said it in one meeting and did a lecture on it, and it became the thing, right? It became the thing that we all talk about. But I think there's a difference here. You know, you really spearheaded the social media groups, like the marketing, I don't know what you call them, like the injector meetups on Instagram where you kind of follow each other and help each other kind of grow your followings. You actually did the community over competition. Like, you actually lived it and did the thing. You lived it out. You didn't just say it. And I know there's a big tribe of you guys, Audrey, Erica, a whole group that kind of really came up together and became, in a sense, famous together and went through all the things together. But we use that. We have adulterated and bastardized the community over competition now for years. I've lived through it all the time, even with our meeting. People are hating on us right now on Instagram because we like to wear nice clothes to our meeting. We like to have makeup on. Side note, you can wear makeup and be pretty and be smart and good at your job, just in case you didn't know that. Haters. Hashtag haterade. But anyway, how do you feel like, you know, how did you, as you come up with that idea, how did you think in your mind that our industry would latch on to that? And are you disappointed in how it's ended up? I mean, I sometimes am, that we've not really done it. We say it, but we don't really do it. So give me your community over competition thoughts.
It was cool because me and Sarah Berg, a longtime nurse injector buddy of mine, we did this post where we kind of split her face and my face because we're two injectors. I'm in Tennessee. She's in Montana. We just so happened to become friends. We helped each other and all this. And so we tried to do that post. And I was like, you know what? Community over competition, because it's like, it doesn't matter. Like I just realized that was like, you know, we get so focused in like, oh God, another med spa opened up. I'm like, sweetie, med spas are open up like syphilis. They everywhere, like get used to it. So it's like, I was like, but at the end of the day, nobody is your competition. The only person that is your competition is right up here in your head. And like all the things that you have to like overcome with that. The only thing that you should be focusing on is who were you yesterday? How can you better that self today for a better tomorrow? And it's like, keep your head down. It's like, nobody can do what I can do. Nobody can do lips like Julie Horn lips. They're like, I do Julie Horn lips. No, bitch, you don't. You're not Julie Horn. Like, I do Talkshow lips. I might have been trained in all that stuff, but nobody does what you do. Nobody is better than you. You're the rock star. And it doesn't matter if a clinic opens up right beside of you. I'm like, okay, what lasers do they have so I can refer over? I'm like, I don't want to do vaginal laser hair removal. No, ma'am. I ain't doing it. I want to refer out. Like, what can we do together? What's your strong suit and what could I refer and vice versa? That's always been my mentality. And so Sarah and I were like, let's do a post on that. And little did we know it would go poof, you know, like the consultant clinic, they shared it and it kind of helped spread. And then you just see people, it was really cool to see something, you know, spread. And now people use it and they won't even give me credit for it. I'm like, you didn't come up with that. I did. Like, but they will literally, it was good for a while. It woke us up, and you can tell, you know, like I could always tell people like, oh, community over competition. I'm like, well, that's funny because you were literally sitting here at this conference downing this person to me and all these people. I was like, you are the furthest thing from community over competition. And so it started off as something cool, but not every person really gets it. They will say it for a look and a like and a and an image on social media, but at their core, honey, they're a snake. And I've seen it so many times. I'm like, you can't be community over competition whenever you're downing everybody. You can't be community over competition whenever the snide looks and the snide stuff on social media and stuff. You're right, it kind of bastardized and it's turned to this thing that's like almost like this like label that like, oh, that's cute, I'm gonna put that on because it's like trending. And I'm like, yeah, it was a trend, but it's got a meaning to it. And unless you're going to authentically live that on and off the camera, honey, don't do it. It's like, you're just fooling yourself and you're fooling other people. But at the end of the day, a snake will expose itself. A snake will shed its skin. And we're like, oh, look at that. For us, it just has to be after a chemical bill of laser, you know? So it was cool to see it. I would love to see it go back to more, but like this industry, it's hard because like I wanted to get out of the industry because it feels so broken. And I was like, nope, you've got this platform, let's try to fix it. And I think if we would all have that community over competition mindset and realize that nobody is our competition besides ourselves, then it shifts your perspective into being like, it doesn't matter what other people are doing. Focus on you, and other success has nothing to do with you. We're on our own journey with that. And we are stronger together. It doesn't, whether you're RN, MP, MD, or PA, like we are stronger together. And we make this industry stronger when we work together, and we can support other people without it affecting our own abilities.
Yeah, it's one of those things where people who are saying it almost use it as like a get out of jail free card. They put a knife in your back, like, can you do it for competition? I'm like, but the knife is in my back. Like, I feel it. I can feel that I'm bleeding out, you know? But it's almost like they're like, get out of jail free card. And I'm seeing it more and more often now than ever before, people who are doing things. And it's kind of like their little scapegoat that they just say that. But I'm reading a book right now called Infinite Games by Simon Sinek. And it talks about that abundance mindset that, you know, Apple always wins against Microsoft because Microsoft works from this like finite scarcity membership or, you know, mindset where it's like competition. And Apple's like, we just want to be great. We just want to be awesome. We want to be the best. We don't care against whom. It's just, we want to be the best version of Apple. And so anyway, if you haven't read that book yet, you should read it. It's called Infinite Games, Simon Sinek. It's so good. But to that point, you know, thinking about community of competition, I see meetings using that phrase, who won't let RNs on podium. I see people using that phrase, who won't let you speak for them and their company. And I think to myself, this is, you know, you're where it all started. And I think over the course of the years, industry has not been good to you, Josh. I say that, you know, anyone who asks has not been good to you. You have made aesthetics in many ways what it is today, and they have really turn their back on you in many ways because you are a bit outspoken, you're a little controversial, out of the box. Hey, I totally am the same way, I get it. And they've not opened up their arms to you. I think, you know, shout out to MERS, who has been so wonderful to always put you on a podium and a pedestal and say that you're great because you are great. You've worked with Cartesa in the past, Prolinium. But at what point did you realize, you know, the writing is on the wall, that although I am this beacon of you know, hope and doing good things and being, you know, from the inside out working through the industry, it's not going to be everyone's cup of tea? And how did you kind of be okay with that and move on and not have a chip on your shoulder about the whole thing?
It was hard at first because, you know, like you get into the industry and all this stuff and you want a seat at the table, you know, and I've just come to realize it's not a table I even want to seat at anymore because it's not a good table. And it was one that, like, you know, and I can understand certain things. I'm not everybody's cup of tea. That's okay. Not everybody in life is going to like you. Not everybody has good taste, sweetie. You know, it's like that whole thing is like, you don't even like everybody. So how are you going to expect everybody to like you? And at the first, you know, with the products I was using, I was trying my hardest to like be on stage with the, you know, the two big companies and all this stuff. But then it was always something, or it's like, as like they were trying to change me, or like, oh, you know, you could do this if you just, you know, not be yourself, basically. And it was disheartening because I was just like, wow. I was like, okay, it's the gay thing, you know. And I realized it was sometimes it's that, And that's okay. Like, I mean, it's just, again, it's the world we live in. But what I had to do was realize that, like, it's like chasing a butterfly. You ain't gonna catch it, because sometimes you're chasing the wrong butterfly. And if you just focus on you, then the right one will come land on your shoulder. And that's kind of what happened. I was focusing so much on what I thought I wanted and the people that I should be in alignment with and people who tell you you're supposed to be in alignment with. It's like the universe is over here being like, okay, but here's your people. I've got them right here, but you just have to look. So once I let that go and I was like, you know what? I'm just sick of trying. It was interesting because MERS came along and they were the ones. And they're a huge, huge company. They're one of the top. And it was so cool to be embraced for who I truly was, to find a company that are different. You know, they think differently and they all this stuff, to embrace that. And I love my MERS family. And I was like, oh, wow, they let me get on stage. You know, like old school Josh, he gets up and say, he says what he wants. Sometimes he offends people. Sometimes this, that, and the other, blah, 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 blah. Honey, in a day, like, you can mention the name water and somebody's going to be like, oh, my God, that is so offensive. You know, I'm like, go choke. So like they embrace the different. And and it's so funny because I just did a recent training with them. I was the jawline person at their cadaver lab. And I was about to, somebody asked a question. I'm like, ooh, I really want to like spill the tea. And I looked over at them and I was like, can I? And they're like, this is why we bring you up here, because you're raw and real. They're like, say whatever you want, you know? And people, I think, appreciated that. And I was so thankful for them to give me a platform to be myself and to show the world that I'm not just some, you know, whatever, like people that they've written me off because they're just like, oh, he's a joke of the industry, blah, 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 all this stuff. Until you gave me a big platform a few years ago when it's like Julie Horn was supposed to come in and do lips, but she wasn't able to make it in. And you're like, we found a replacement. And I'm like, who? And you're like, you. And I'm like, what? Imposter syndrome. Hello. And I got on stage in front of like, what, 1,000 people and did lips, and people were like, oh shit, he actually knows what he's doing. Look at that. So again, in this medical world, people have a hard time whenever it's like, oh, I've got to wear a suit and tie and get on stage and be professional. I'm like, we forget to have fun. And heaven forbid somebody comes along that's fun and is an RN, that isn't an MD, you know, that typically get the spotlight. And for a company to give me that platform to show like I'm more than just a joke, like I actually know what I'm talking about. But when you sit in front of me, I'm going to educate you. We're going to laugh. We're going to have fun. You're going to remember it. And that's what it's about. So I was always thankful for them to give me that platform and for the people that has embraced the difference, you know, in that. And that was kind of heartfelt. Like I look back on it sometimes and I'm like, wow, thank you for it not working out with these people because they weren't your people to begin with. So it was, and you're right. The industry hasn't been nice, you know? And I get it. You know, sometimes I am controversial. I'll get on there. I say what I want. I wasn't built with a filter, but that is also the reason why these companies have me in to talk, because I am raw. I'm real. In a world full of horses, be a unicorn. In a world full of fake on Instagram, they see me being real. It was like this breath of fresh air in the industry. And I'm like, yeah, I was like, I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about the things that people are thinking, but they're too afraid to say, because that's silent people rarely make change. So it was one that like, I just had to stop caring so much what the industry thought of me and care more about what I thought about myself. And when I do that, when I get on my frequency, I'm on my radio station, Boo Bear. And the beautiful thing about a radio station is you can tune in or you can tune out. I'm going to be on my station and tune in when you want to. And, you know, rock and roll may not be everybody's cup of tea. Rap may not be every cup of tea. The beautiful things, change your station. But that doesn't mean I have to go try to, okay, nobody likes rock and roll or like pop music, so I'm going to have to go be a jazz station. No, just be yourself. And when I did that, that's when everybody was like, oh, boo, 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 boo. It was like I was rewarded for finally embracing who I am, because my people came, my tribe came and embraced me.
Well, you know what shocks me too? I think about like Christianity, you mentioned that earlier, is you want a messenger. You know, God doesn't prepare, we want to talk about, you know, he doesn't prepare like, you know, the perfect. He prepares the, you know, the ones who can go out and make a difference and reach people. You're reaching folks. No matter what people think about you, when you go into a room and talk about medical education and how to inject and safety and all these things, they listen to you. And so you're the messenger of what we're trying to get out there and what we're trying to share. And if you can pack a room, we're better for it, because they're at least getting the message. It's like, you know, the idea, don't kill the messenger. people always talk about aesthetic next, like who's on stage, like whoever can pack a room, because I want the most people to get educated that I can possibly fit into a room and learn. That if we can get a bigger room, great, I'll get a bigger room. Like, I don't care. Get bodies in the room to hear someone who has a brain and a skill set that can share what they're doing well. And you will pack, you and Erica will pack a room all day, every day, no matter where you go. It's like, that's who you want, because they're going to come listen to you. And I just want them to hear. I just want them to get there and see it, you know, to come to the altar, if you will. But I think the industry has not been great to you. But, you know, Evolus has done a lot of things with you as well. All the companies who are kind of progressive and fun have done things with you because it matches their brand. But I think people will come and listen to you because they are curious of if you are good enough or not. And then once they ever do, they keep coming back. Like they get involved with you, like, oh, he is really smart. He is really good at what he does. I'm going to keep coming back and listening and you know, following him and doing the whole thing. But it is a weird idea in our industry that if you're popular, people hate you. If you're not, they think that you're a loser. It's like, what are you supposed to do? Like, should you be popular or not? I don't know what to do. But I think you've broken down some barriers, though, of people who are so worried about being their true, authentic self, and if they're going to be hated for it or judged for it, who are now kind of stepping out into their own light and doing things their own way and lecturing on topics that they love, that they care about, that they would have never done had they not seen you do it and be okay with it and accept, you know, accept who you are and accept the fate of that. You've kind of taken it on the chin and said, I'm going to just do what I'm going to do, and it is what it is. But not everyone's as strong as you when it comes to that. So I always applaud that, and I just think it's so fantastic that you've just kind of blazed your own way and done your own thing. But brings me to, I don't want to go into all the details because we've all watched it unfold on Instagram, all of the things that happened to you with complications and such. And I know there's a lot behind that, but I want to talk about what that meant for you and how it changed your perspective and your world, because I think it was a wake-up call for all of us in the industry that this is like truly a medical thing. It's risky. It has issues. When one of your own goes through it, it becomes like very apparent, and we look at it, you know, big lights and a billboard, and it made a difference. I think it made a huge difference. But how did that experience change you, and what have you taken from that as you've gone on now, you know, new business, new you, different Josh? How's it affected your life long term?
Yeah. Last summer was scary and something I never thought would happen to me, and it did. And looking back on it now, I'm like, I can see why, because it's like, you know, I was strong enough. Thankfully I came out on the other end of it. But it did start a much needed conversation in the industry. It lit the whole world on fire. Like, people from all over the globe, Australia, Europe. I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. It made me realize how much I am loved, you know, even with all the hate. It's like people are watching, and you've made a difference. And so when that happened, you know, I had a reaction to filler. And it was terrified. I went into the hospital, started kind of going into a little bit of respiratory distress, like ARDS and sepsis. It wasn't responding to steroids, wasn't responding to this. My face was blown up, got really, really difficult to breathe. And didn't know, and I couldn't, it was like my whole body kind of shut down. And in the midst of it, it was terrifying. But on top of that, I had to deal with a bunch of bullshit, a lot of, we'll just say a lot of bullshit. A lot of threats, a lot of fake claims about my health. Really nasty, nasty stuff. And what that did for me, and here I am like in the hospital, just like trying to and make it. And my poor partner, he was like, oh my God, like, you know, and then here I am with dealing with all this. It just exposed a lot about the industry and about companies and how nasty it can be and how nasty it is. And how at the end of the day, people could give two shits less about people. It's what goes in their pocketbook and protecting their image. And for me, I look back on it, and not only did I had to go through 12 rounds of dissolving to get that out of my face, I still, I can't use HAs anymore. I look back, and not only did I dissolve the filler out of my face, it was the start of me dissolving the industry out of me. You know, you look up in the mirror and you're at 5:30 in the morning in severe pain, and your face is bloop, and you're like, you don't recognize yourself. But on another side, you look in the mirror and you're like, who is this person staring back at you? Like, after I healed and all this stuff, I was like, I don't even know who you are anymore. Like, the industry built this person on social media, you know, because And I think part of the persona was like, that I'm a bitch, that I am like this, and companies were afraid to work with me. They're like, we don't, we're afraid of what he would do. And I'm just like, well, don't make a shitty product and you're gonna be fine. But again, not everybody's cup of tea, and that's okay. But like, I turned into this person because it worked. Like, I'm not this bitchy ass person that's like tears people apart. But what was working on social media, tea time and me speaking raw real and all this stuff, blah, 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 blah. And then like the trolls that would come for you. And then I would just respond back to it. It didn't bother me at the time because I was like, a troll, who gives a shit? Honestly, it made engagement better. But what you don't realize is all the stuff, all the social media, who it tells you you have to be to get liked and to get on stage, that you have to have the Gucci shoes, you have to have these red bottom shoes, you have to have that new outfit to get on stage because people, you got to be that something, that you have to put up with the bullshit from companies that like just will use and use and use you and make money off of you. Like, one 15-second story of mine made a company $3.5 million, and then I got like nothing, like, and just get thrown to the wind. Like, all this bullshit, like, people see the spotlight, they don't see the target on your back, they don't see the toll it takes on your mental health, they don't see all that. And that was a wake-up call with all that dissolving out. I was like, wow. And when I healed, what happened is I tried to hop back in. I might get emotional, just to overlook it. I tried to hop back into the industry and I just couldn't. Like, I couldn't hop back on social media. I couldn't hop back and do the things that, because I was like, that's not me. Like, all of it's not me. I'm still sassy and fun and all this stuff, but I'm like, wow. I'm like, do you want to be a Wendy Williams or do you want to be a JBN? Like, you have this platform. What the hell are you doing with it? You're light and love. You're all about this. What is this? And so I had to realize what was me and what wasn't me. Just like Hylenex has to go in and find like what was that bad filler and what was not, and dissolve it out. And I tried, Tiffany, I tried so hard and I just could not, like, I couldn't get on it. And I took a big break from social media. I disappeared. And when I get back on there, and then like the story views are 400, then you're like, what's the point? And that is just, that's a whole other thing of getting detrimental. But I'm glad I had to go through the shit to get back to authentically who I am, this new place. And if that would have happened to me last year, I don't, and it's like, of all the people, it had to happen to Talks Josh. But like, I responded in a different way that the industry, I think, was shocked that I responded. They see the product now of authenticity of myself. They see the evolution of what happened from last summer. That's what you're seeing now on social media. You're seeing me be more myself and use my platform in a way that makes me happy and all that. And that wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for last year. And you have to turn out the noise. Like, I had to turn out all the bullshit that I'm still going through today. If I told you, you would be like, are you kidding me? The stuff that I still have to deal with about last year. And I'm like, that's okay. I'm just collecting receipts, honey. Turn those receipts in, it'll be taken care of. But it was a huge wake-up call to what is wrong with our industry, and a wake-up call to myself of like, some of it you've caused, some of it, like, how you've contributed to it. And so I kind of disappeared and took care of myself. I had to heal myself. I'm still in the process of that, like, dealing with the burnout, the nervous system completely shot, the need to grab the phone and for the attention on social media. And but my screen time is now down to an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours a day versus 9 and 10. Undoing all of the stuff. And the people are like, well, you're just not strong enough to handle it. And I'm like, no, you are just still in it and don't realize the detriment that it's going to happen to you one day, because you cannot run a marathon on full steam ahead right out of the gate. You can't do it. You have to pace yourself. So it was shitty. It was awful. But I'm looking back, I'm so glad the journey that I've had from it, because it did. It woke me up to it. And instead of running from it like I wanted to, like, I was like, get me out of this toxicity. Get me out of it. But it's like, you're too good at it. And you love what you do. And you have a platform to change it. Try to be the light now instead of like the crazy blind and light in the wrong way, like try to be a light and help cause a change, a metamorphosis for all these people getting into it. Like, be the person that you want to be to try to make a change in the world and not what people tell you you have to do in order to be part of this industry. And it's such a beautiful thing when you can go through that. I still feel like I'm a pile of goo. I haven't quite got my wings yet. But maybe I do. Butterflies can't see how beautiful their wings are. They can't even see them. But I'm still going through it, and I'm thankful, because if it wasn't for the mess, the shit, the fertilizer, I wouldn't be in the place I am now.
That's heavy, Josh. That's really heavy. But I think the Josh 2.0, maybe 6.0, I don't know what version you're on right now, we're all trying to improve ourselves. But I think this is who you are. I think, having known you for quite a while and known you, probably more personally than others might know you, I've never known you to be like the troll guy or the mean guy, or that's just not your personality. And sometimes I see you on Instagram that way. I was like, it doesn't seem like you as a real person at all. I think the person that you're projecting now on Instagram is who you actually are. It's like this person who's interested in mental health and finding out, your why and your energy and, helping those around you. And just a very different vibe, much more aligned with who you are as a person than before. But I know the trap that you get into, especially in this industry, because it was, phenomenal growth, exponential growth, and you were part of that big wave. But I think you're in a place now to dictate how the industry operates from a place of good and abundance and not where it was before. And so while it sucks that it happened to you, it's horrible. And I remember watching it every day thinking, gosh, is this going to ever get better? And are you ever going to get through all this? To now see you on the other side of it, I think you're a better person for it. I'm sure that you feel like you're a better person for it, but also your impact is way different now for the industry, like way different than it was before, which I think is great. And all the human design, the work with Michaela, who's phenomenal, the Reiki, all the energy things that you're doing. I mean, it's just such a cool part of our industry that we never talk about, and of medicine in general, that this whole East versus West thing, I think you've really brought that to the forefront too, that people weren't thinking about that before. Now they are, like how you treat the whole person, not just the injectable, not just the lips, but also like what's behind the lips. So that's a cool conversation we're having now that we've never had before. That, as we look at the next 5, 10 years, I hope that that becomes more of the standard, like the whole wellness idea and the whole person, not just, big boobs, big hair, all that, but everything else about us is also important. So I love that you've come out a different person, because I feel like it's metamorphosis is important for all of us, but I hate that you went through it. But again, the lessons that we learn along the way, where they're real shitty at the time, but looking back, sometimes it's like the door shut and the window open and I had to crawl through over broken glass, but I made it out, barely intact. And you've certainly made it out. So, but I'm glad that you're healthy again. That's the good.
Yeah, I think that's, and if it wasn't for that, like, these things wouldn't have come to the forefront. Like, Michaela, I always call her my human crystal. Like, and human design has been such a big part of me. I'm on a, different path. I signed up. I'm getting to be a certified life coach with Jay Shetty, and then my master's in psychology. And I see a difference when I incorporate things like human design, the essential oils, the crystals, the Reiki, the energy healing, and focusing on the inside. It makes my clinic more fun. It's made industry more fun. But I'm able to help people now. Like, people, it's once I embrace this part, I was so terrified to bring these things into, my clinic, because it's so different. But it's the things that helped me heal and are still helping me heal. And it's funny now, because my conversations have changed. At the end of the appointment, the patients aren't being like, okay, what can I do next with my face? They're like, Josh, how can I just feel good? What do you, your energy is different. At Aesthetic Next, they're like, your energy. I was like, thank you for the biggest compliment of my life, because I am different and my patients are feeling that. But now the conversations, I'm able to be like, you know what? Let's talk about Reiki. Let's talk about human design. Let's get you in touch with Michaela. Michaela, I'm like, are you ready to have your life changed? Because Michaela McLean will do it, honey, and human design will do it. And it teaches you how to live from an authentic place. People, I think in COVID, it woke us up like we're on Zoom and we were searching. We're like, all right, we want to feel better about ourselves because we're staring at ourselves on the camera. And we're like, okay, it's the year of the lips, and now it's like the year of the jawline, all this stuff. And we do that, and we're thinking that's going to work. And the patients are still coming in and they're like, I've done all this stuff thinking it was going to make me happy and it's still not. And I'm like, nothing I do with a syringe or tox or filler is going to do that. That has to come from the inside. And to see the shift with people now, they've done all the aesthetics has to change because these people are doing this and they're still not happy with themselves. And I think if aesthetics, we have a chance in a way that in a unique opportunity to change the narrative with these patients that seek, outside beauty for validation. And we have the opportunity to be like, all that tox isn't working, is it? Because it's got to come from here. And there's tools and ways that you can do that if you don't want to do the weird and the woo way, which it's not, or you can back it by science, the therapy way, do the traditional medicine way. These people need to talk to somebody to get the inside right so the outside shines good. And to see my patients ask me, what are you doing? And I can be like, I use essential oils. Here's the crystal that I use. I started retailing those versus skincare. I incorporate Reiki in everything that I do. I Reiki the space. I do energy clearing on these patients when they come in and they're stressed and like, oh my God, what did you do to me? I feel so good. Like, wow. Because again, in a world full of horses, be a unicorn. Why are you going to come to TalkStar Studios? Because you're going to feel differently when you leave. And everybody has the ability to do that, but only if we embrace the things that start to embrace the inner beauty. And human design has been, and Michaela has been a, I get emotional when I talk about her. She was like that person that kind of like came in and just like woke me up and really helped transform the person that you see in like in front of you right now. She's been such an integral part of that. And I'll never be able to repay her for what she's done for my life. And then the tools that I've learned with that, so what I'm going to be able to help with other people's life. And none of this would have happened if it wasn't for all that. So I'm, and thank you for seeing that and embracing that, especially giving us a platform at Aesthetic Next to be able to talk about these things. Not everybody does that. So like, we thank you from the bottom of our heart for giving us a platform to talk about this stuff where most people would not.
Well, we're big fans of Michaela here too. I love her. When I met her, I was like, you know what? Just the energy, the vibe. She did My Human Design and read it. And it was like, I was like, are you a psychic? Like, how do you know all these things about me? She knew everything. I was like, this is so creepy because she knew, how I make decisions and how I think about the world and where my anxiety is held in my body. And like, even things I have a lot of like, gastrointestinal issues, like, because I have a very anxious belly. She's like, here's why you have an anxious belly. And I can see that from your human design. It was just the most enlightening thing I'd ever done, Josh. It was like shocking to me to find that all these things are rooted in something and to find out that there's more to it than just, I've got a lot of anxiety. Like there's a reason why, and here's where it manifests itself. And I agree with you. Like she's, if you guys haven't done it yet, you've got to look her up and you've got to do a human design because it's just fascinating. But I think you're on to what the next wave of things, will be for our industry is it's inside beauty and outside beauty. It's all these other parts of the puzzle that we have to put together to really to create a new, a new day for our industry that's much more focused on true wellness and the holistic patient, not just who has the best lip technique. But that's a difference for us, and we'll get there. We're just slow. But as we wrap up, I could talk to you all day long. By the way, I could talk to you for like 4 days and never take a breath. I could run the marathon with you, but we have to wrap up at some point. But what's next for you? I know that you're doing some travel spots here and there. You've got your clinic going, you have all the things. What's the big stuff in your world in the next, 6, 9 months?
Yeah, so honestly, is just getting back to a place of me, continuing to focus and pour all the stuff that I was pouring into to other people's companies and all that stuff. I am filling my own cup, and when I have extra, I'm making it overflow. Recharging my batteries and recentering and resetting, getting to that happy place again that fills me. And so, really saying no to a lot of the stuff in the industry and stepping back and being me. I've got something going to be launching in January that you guys will see be sitting on shelves. It's a book. So that'll be a big launch. So that's going to be launching in January 27th, 2024. That'll be the launch of the book. And so you'll stay tuned for all the time. You all are going to die. And it's going to be a lot about this and my journey and about like talking about like dropping the tea on all the things, hun, tea in this industry that has are good, but they can also be bad. But also like ways that we can make it better, ways that we can go inward. So I'm really excited about that. I'm going to get Tea Time with Talks Josh up and running again. I'm excited to start podcasting. You know, and that's what happens when you focus on yourself. So like when you pour and pour into you, you actually can do things that light you on fire versus being burnt out. So I'm going to continue to work on mental health, burnout, and fill my own cup and get on social media and be more myself than ever and try to help change the world, make it a better place, make people laugh and smile, educate, you know, and just enjoy, start enjoying the journey versus picking out the next mountain that I got to climb. I'm like, you know what? I've already climbed a mountain. I'm successful. I ain't got to prove nothing to anybody. I'm going to sit right here and I'm going to look at the view from my current mountain of all the stuff that I've accomplished and overcome and just enjoy that for a second. That's my goal over the next little bit. Maybe some London, you know, some travel.
But a book, I'm so excited to read a book. I mean, I love that for you. I love that for all of us that get to read it. And, you know, Josh, we mentioned this before we came on about your mom, but I'm so proud of you. You have gone through some shit and you've taken the shit and turned it into shine, you know, in many cases, and taken some really bad hands of cards and that you were dealt and just made it into like a full house, you know, a royal flush, whatever you want to call it. I'm not a good poker person, but man, you've overcome a lot of stuff and done some really cool things and made some enemies along the way and made a whole lot of friends too. And I think you saw last year that we all care about you and love you. And as soon as we knew you were, you know, in real danger, we were all like, where's he at? How do we get there? What can we do? And, you know, I think your tribe is your tribe, honey. Don't worry about the rest of them. Screw the haters. We don't need them. We don't, there's enough good in the world. We don't need all the bad stuff too. But I have loved having you on. It's been truly a dream since season one, podcast one, to have you on and just talk to you and share your story, which I think changes every day. I mean, your story is, I mean, it's gotta be a book, right? It's like a freaking Lifetime movie, but it has to be a book. There's no other way that you could ever think it's all real unless you just read it and realize it's actually a real person. But you're doing cool things and I can't wait to see what happens for you next. But send me a copy of that book. I don't know where to buy it. How do we get it? Like, as soon as it's ready, you better let me know.
Be on Amazon. There'll be books there that you can get and there'll be ebooks. So just stay tuned on my socials at Talks Josh on Instagram and all that stuff and you'll do it. And thank you, girl, for having me on. Thank you for being always a close friend and a confidant and just somebody I can trust and love on into this industry. I appreciate you more than you can ever know.
Well, you know, I love you dearly and thank you for rocking it at the Nexies this year, guys. If you have not, yeah, we got to get all the Nexies footage out because Miss Highland Next needs her own. She needs her own show.
That was fun. Oh, that was fun. I think Miss Highland Next is going to come back again, girl. I think she going to make a debut. It was good.
We're going to get a highlight reel together and we're going to get some highlights out of you hitting some crazy notes and what a great singer you are. Don't you worry. Mark my words. I will get something out for you because whenever Out Loud came out, I immediately went to download it from, you know, Spotify, wherever it was. I was like, this dude can sing. And then I was letting Jared Rohr listen to you sing. He's like, holy shit, Josh is actually really, really good. I'm like, yes, he's very gifted.
The most nerve-wracking thing I've ever done. I can inject lips in front of thousands, but you get me a sing. That was crazy. So that was kind of cool to kind of do. That was fun. We had a blast.
Josh 1.0 would have never done it. Josh 2.0 crushed it. There you go, right there.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, we have to sign off now, but for all of you, we'll see you again next week. And Josh, love you, honey. I hope to see you soon. And yeah, until next time, my friend.
You too. Bye, y'all.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to another episode of For the Record. This podcast is not intended to provide legal or medical advice. It's for entertainment, education, and information purposes only. For more information on this week's guest or to get started with Aesthetic Record, email us at info@aestheticrecord.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more fresh perspectives on disrupting the status quo and surviving in the aesthetics industry.